Highbridge Company and The Mysterious Press present The Shanghai Factor by Charles McCary, read by Stephen Boldme. Original material copyright 2013, Charles McCary. Recording copyright 2013, Highbridge Company, and recorded by arrangement with The Mysterious Press, an imprint of Grove Atlantic Incorporated. How do I know this is true? I look inside myself and see. Lao Tzu. Part 1. 1. Those who keep an eye on me think I have a weakness for Chinese women. This is true as far as it goes, but it goes both ways. I am a hairy man, and certain East Asian women like that. My first Chinese girl called sex with me, sleeping with the chimpanzee. Her name was Mei, easy for a chimp to pronounce and remember. We met cute. One day, as I pedaled along Zhongshan Road, she crashed her bicycle into mine. In those days, I was new to the life of a spy, so my paranoia wasn't yet fully developed, but I immediately suspected that this was no accident. My first thought was that Chinese counterintelligence had sniffed me out and sent this temptress to entrap me. Then I took a look at the temptress and wondered why I should mind. She was lying face down, miniskirt awry, next to the wreckage of our two bikes, curtain of blue-black hair, slender legs the color of honey, snow-white virginal panties covering her round bottom. She was in pain, writhing, moaning, sucking in air through her teeth. I crouched beside her, and in my stumbling Mandarin asked the usual stupid question. She turned her head and looked at me, starlet's face, unblinking dark eyes filled with tears. I asked the same question again. Are you all right? First she heard me. Now she saw me. And smelled me. It was a hot, muggy day. I needed a haircut. I hadn't shaved. Chest hair tufted from the open neck of a shirt I had been wearing for 3 days. Her lips twisted, her eyes blazed, all expression drained from her face. She said nothing. I might as well have been attempting to communicate in American Sign Language. Then she sat up, her face, her whole person radiating anger, as if I had pinched her in her sleep. Her eyes went cold. She shouted at me, at length, in Shanghai dialect. I understood almost nothing she said, but had no difficulty grasping her meaning. A little crowd gathered. They understood every word, and it made them laugh. When she stopped talking, the crowd drifted away. The girl got to her feet. Her knees were scraped. She bled from an elbow. She cradled the wounded arm and her other arm as if in a sling. Taking great care with the tones, I attempted to say, "Please speak Mandarin so I can understand the insults." Daggers. She kicked her bike. The front wheel was as bent out of shape as she was and said, "Your fault." I said, "You hit me. My machine ruined. Look at the front wheel." "That proves you hit me. If I had hit you, my bike would be the one with the broken wheel." "You speak this language like you ride a bicycle. Ugly Chengdu accent. Was that clear enough for you to understand?"
"I think so."
"It thinks," she said. "I think it had better give me some money for a new bike before I call the police. They'll be here any minute anyway, so hurry up."
"Good, the police will see who was at fault."
"Ha!"
In the middle distance, I saw a knot of witnesses leading a policeman to the scene of the crime. The girl saw them too.
"Now you will find out about China," she said.
I didn't doubt that she was right. Getting mixed up with the police was the last thing I was supposed to let happen to me. I was in Shanghai to speak Chinese, not to get the cops interested in me. I said, "I'll go with you to a bicycle shop and pay for the repairs, but no money."
"New bike!"
The cop and the witnesses were getting closer. I said, "Let's talk about it on the way." She smiled triumphantly, lips pressed together.
"I ride. You carry my bike."
I picked up the wreckage. She vaulted onto the saddle of my machine, a $4,000 one bought on the expense account, as if she were leaving Lourdes after being cured by the patron saint of lady bicyclists.